Radiate is designed to help crops build longer, stronger, healthier root systems. Ask your Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant about Radiate or go to RadiateRoots.com for more information. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me.
Yo.
We are trying to rouse Ken Ferry.
Yeah.
I got a feeling he's maybe a little busy this morning.
Could be. While we wait.
Yes. Now, you were talking about, I feel like your story, you had more to the ethanol story than what you...
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Start from the beginning on that, if you would.
So it begins, the Environmental Protection Agency forwarded its proposal for a reset of the renewable fuel standard to the Office of Management and Budget.
Yep.
Although there are no indications regarding proposed volume requirements for 2020, 21, or 22, watchers suspect the conventional ethanol component will remain at 15 billion gallons as specified in 2007. EPA said the proposed reset will include several regulatory amendments aimed at providing clarity and increasing opportunities for renewable fuel production.
Wow. The clarity. That's some of that transparency that we've been begging for. That would refer to the SREs, the small refinery exemptions. Right now, there are 40 of those being considered for 2018 blending requirements. We've already got the 2019 RVOs, renewable volume obligations, that are out there. And it is at 15 billion gallons for the... for the conventional or corn-based ethanol. And then the proposed numbers are off to OMB. I don't anticipate... The big thing here, and this is one of the reasons that it would have been nice to get the extension of the biodiesel tax credit done and in the books and move forward before EPA sent these proposed RVOs over to OMB.
Right.
There's a lot of acronyms right there.
Yeah.
The Office of Management and Budget. If OMB was working with the knowledge that the biodiesel tax incentive had been extended, then that would have given them some more clarity on how to go forward into the 2021 year with their proposed biodiesel volume obligations. Yeah.
We've talked to Senator Chuck Grassley a number of times about that, and he's been trying to push up that hill and doesn't seem like he's had a whole lot of success.
Yeah, and he's not alone.
Yeah.
He's not alone in that. There are farm state and even non-farm state lawmakers, both the Senate and the House, that have said, let's go ahead and do this and move it forward. I mean, that is some pretty important stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty important stuff.
Do you favor the original 2007 target, 15 billion gallons?
15 billion? Oh, Davis, you're opening up a can of worms.
Yes, I am.
Are we going all the way back to my reaction in 2007? Because I was very, very, very unpopular. I was the guy that said, why are we going all the way to 15 billion gallons? Why don't we just mandate it at 7.5 billion gallons? That's enough to replace MTBE as the oxygenate in the reformulated gasoline. So let's mandate it at 7.5 and then let the market tell us how much we're going to use.
I don't mind that a bit.
If we would have done that, tell me how much ethanol we'd be using today.
Yeah.
Some people would say, well, 7.5 billion gallons. I argue we might be using 20, 25. If we would have just let the market instead of mandating it, how do American consumers react when they are told that they have to consume something?
Oh, yeah, no.
It's rebellion.
They're going to consume something
else. Lies.
On purpose.
I mean, they are, when they are told that they must consume something, they believe every piece of misinformation about that product going forward.
Right.
I don't care if it's bananas or ethanol. They will rebel.
Yeah.
And they have. They have by being vulnerable to the misinformation about the product.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a little history of me and ethanol right there.
Yeah,
but
I'm so
passionate about it because and that's why people that know what my initial attitude was about ethanol are surprised that I'm so passionate about the RFS.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason I'm so passionate about the RFS is because, damn it, it's the law.
Right.
And an industry was built on it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pull it now.
Yeah.
Ken Ferry, Crop Tech Consulting, Farm Journal agronomist. How are you today?
We're hanging in there.
Good. What's it like down there?
We just picked up another 8 tenths here late last night, I guess early this morning. So we're at a standstill again.
At a standstill. How much has been done?
Right through here, we got a pretty good lick starting about Friday.
Okay.
And pretty much everybody ran right up to the rain last night.
Mm-hmm.
So we went from, you know, almost zero to probably 10, 15% around here as far as guys got moving.
10 or 15%, and here we are on May 22nd. You've got to be getting all kinds of questions about, is now the time to switch to a shorter season variety on corn?
Yeah. The questions seem to change on a daily basis to some extent. You know, when to shorten the hybrids up, and originally talking about moving corn to beans, and that's kind of went up by the wayside, and then talk about preventive planning, and then just the last few days with the rally in the market, they're back into trying to figure out how they can get this corn in the ground. So it's been all over the board.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, the progression of those questions fits with what has happened in the market just perfectly. So it makes a lot of sense. Is now the time to switch up?
You know, it depends a little bit on each operation and where they're at here. If the guys can handle some wet grain in the fall, they're trying to stay with their full season hybrids. But if you're in a situation where you can't handle that wet grain in the fall, then it's probably time to start pulling out. You know, for our guys, we told them if we could get our long season corns in by May 20th here, that we would stick with it, because as we back those maturities down, so does yield. But if you, some guys are set up to handle a lot of wet corn and it's not a big threat here, especially from here south, a lot of this grain has to go to town. So then it comes to what is your elevator's capability of handling, you know, not just one or two growers of wet corn, but they're going to have to handle a community of wet corn, you know, is what's that going to do to our harvest? So for some of those guys, we're starting to pull out of those full season hybrids and shorten it up some. Just to make sure that we aren't drying corn into January.
Right. Gotcha. Those shorter season hybrids, though, there is a direct correlation to a lower yield. I mean, you take a day off the maturity, you're taking, what, a bushel and a half off the potential?
Yeah. You know, today we have shorter season hybrids that do better than they did 10 or 15 years ago. But what people tend to forget, corn kind of has an internal clock, and when you plant it late, it starts making adjustments to that internal clock, which comes at the cost of bushels. So even planting for us a full season corn here is 115, and a lot of that is what got jammed in these last 4 days. But if we pull from 114-day hybrid to, let's say, 105-day hybrid, it's going to come with a yield reduction because the 105-day hybrid is also being planted late.
Right.
And that 105-day hybrid will also make adjustments to the calendar as well. So it isn't like you can plan a step to 105-day hybrid and get the yield 105-day hybrid would have if I planted it April 21st. It's coming down in yield from being planted late.
Gotcha.
Plus, it's coming down in yield from being, a 10-day shorter relative maturity hybrid.
But the other advantage here, if you make the decision to shorten up your variety, you may be buying yourself a little bit of time, let those fields get closer to fit before you get out there and start sticking seed in the ground again.
Right. And again, on the other end is
the
what can you do at harvest? Because no way around it right now. We're going to spend Thanksgiving in the combine. So, you know, what's the weather going to be like at the other end? So having all full season corn, and a lot of our full season corn gets a lot of its horsepower from the very last 30 days of the growing season. in depth of kernel. And unfortunately, our odds of getting good, long, sunshiny days as we move into October to finish and first part of November start to get iffy.
It certainly does get iffy. I've only got 20 seconds for you here. You going to get all the corn planted down there?
I don't think so.
That's all I needed. That's all I needed, Ken. Thank you, brother. Be safe down there. No shortcuts. Keep it going strong. Stay safe.
We'll give her all we can.
Sounds good. That is Ken Ferry, Crop Tech Consulting and Farm Journal agronomist. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty quick summary of the growing season that Ken is having down there south of Bloomington, Illinois. All right, when we come back, we're going to get this farmer forum going. We've got Tim Burrock from Iowa and Darren Enan from South Dakota next on AgriTalk.